Starting in 6 days is an event that brings to light the goals of many highly dedicated athletes. Are you still guessing what I'm talking about? I don't think so. Well, the 30th Olympic Summer Games begin this Friday. That's of the modern era, which started in 1896. It will be held in Paris, France. Many have dedicated themselves to reaching their goal of being Olympic champions in their individual sport or discipline. Every aspect of their lives has come under scrutiny and revolves around their goal. They have captured and trained all aspects of their being in this pursuit. And now, in a few short days, all their efforts will come to a focus in a relatively brief few moments when they do compete in that event, and they will or will not achieve their goal. How many of you remember Mark Spitz? Mark Spitz was one of the best swimmers in history. And he has said that he made one bad choice leading up to the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. That choice was he decided to enter into three individual events and two relays. He says, however, he failed to prepare himself for that many races. He says he assumed he would be good in all of them because he had held world records in at least two of them. It was a mistake. He failed to prepare. If you remember the next Olympics, he went on to win 7 gold medals in the 1972 Olympics in Munich, Germany, having corrected his attitude and his outlook, and he was prepared. It has been said that champions do not become champions when they win the event, but in the many hours, weeks, months, and years they spend preparing for their goal. The victorious gold medal acceptance is just a demonstration and a confirmation of their championship character. Well, I ask, how about you and I? We each have a goal, and we are dedicating, or should be dedicating, our lives to that ultimate goal, being a member of the kingdom of God. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. That is our goal. And just like the goal that the Olympic athletes have, it requires dedication of our whole body, mind, and soul. In order to achieve our goal, we too must prepare diligently. I don't mean to downplay the achievement of the Olympic champion or the upcoming Olympic champions. It is a great human achievement. However, in reality, becoming Olympic champion pales in comparison to achieving the goal that we've each set ourselves to, being a member of God's kingdom. Well, this afternoon, I would like to discuss, and this is the title of this sermon, A Godly Key to Success. I'm going to talk about this godly principle, which will lead to success in many aspects of our lives, but most importantly, in our spiritual achievements and our reaching of that ultimate goal, that, as we heard in the sermonette, that crown that awaits us in the kingdom of God, and that is preparation. Being prepared. We will look at the who, what, where, when, why, and how of preparation from a biblical perspective. Let's start with who. Who needs to be prepared? Well, that's easy. We do. We all do. Every one of us is called to a life of preparation according to the Bible. It does not distinguish between age, gender, or status. We are all called to prepare. It could be the youngest among us or the most elderly. We've all started our spiritual journey. We've all started our journey towards that goal. And we need to be prepared every day of our lives to meet the challenges head on and to reach that goal without failing, without we need to reach the goal. We will fail. And that's what I mean, is we will fail along the way, but we need to get back up. We need to be prepared to push forward. We need to move forward towards that goal. In Matthew 24:13, we read, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." We need to think about those words. One can only endure if one is prepared to do so. It's not something that you take lightly in that it just happens. It takes work. We have to be diligent. Later on in the sermon, we'll talk about some of the practical aspects of being prepared. But just like the Olympic athletes, it depends on our attitude. We have to have the right attitude. I really appreciate Mr. Hendrickson's sermonette where he talked about the heart, because that is what needs to be prepared, our heart, our attitudes, the center of our intellect. We need to really want to reach that goal. Just like the athletes, they lay down all aspects of their lives. They give up everything to reach that physical goal. How about us? Are we willing, and do we on a day-to-day basis give up everything to reach that wonderful, wonderful goal that Jesus Christ and God the Father have set before us? And they tell us that it's attainable. We can do it. We need to be prepared to put whatever it takes into achieving that goal. A number of you will remember the Vietnam War, and you may remember the name of James Stockdale. He was a vice admiral. He was the highest ranking U.S. military person who was a POW in Vietnam, in the Hanoi Hilton. He was there for 8 years, and he tells the story, or he's asked the question, on who were those that didn't make it? And he said those that didn't make it were the optimists. Those who didn't make it were the ones that thought, oh, it'll be done by next week. It'll be done by next Christmas. It'll be done by next Easter. He said those that made it were prepared on a day-to-day basis to accept what they were going through, the trials that they were going through, and to push forward. Not that they gave up on their goal, not that they couldn't see their goal, because that did keep them going, but they had to be prepared what they were going to go through on a day-by-day basis to get there. Just like the athletes in the Olympics, it's not easy. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of sorrow on the way to finally standing up there and hearing the national anthem of your country and obtaining that gold medal around your neck. We all know that there's pain in following this Christian life. But we all know that it's worth it. We just have to be prepared to endure. Let's look at the what. Well, what is preparation? What does it mean to be prepared? Well, in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says prepared means to be ready for something, to be suitable in suitable condition for some purpose or activity. But you know, I was looking in the Dictionary Britannica, and one of the meanings there really struck me, and that was made at an earlier time for later use. Made ready in advance. It's talking about us. This life is making us ready in advance of what service we've been called to, that goal. We're going through things today. We're going through trials. We're going through good and bad times. They're all in preparation, ultimately, for the kingdom of God. The Bible is just full of verses that instruct and inspire us about preparation. In both the Old and the New Testaments, encourages us to ensure our hearts are ready to receive God's word, to prepare our hearts, to have our minds and our bodies braced for action. Because just hearing the words without acting on them doesn't get us anywhere. Just like the athletes, they can go through training sessions and everything else, but just taking it as it comes and not pushing themselves to the next level, they'll never, never be able to reach out and grab that goal. Neither will we. We have to prepare ourselves to live the lives that God has called us to. And as I said, we'll talk about some practical things when we talk about the how. But that practical side of things, the physical, also merges with the spiritual readiness. And it allows us to be full of faith and full of trust in God's plan. God's plan. God's prepared a plan for all of mankind. He's prepared a plan for each one of us. God cares about each one of us, everyone who's ever lived. He cares about them, so he is prepared ahead of time. We need to develop that godly character of preparing those things that we have been given the ability to prepare for. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 13, and I'll read from the Modern King James Version. 1 Peter 1:13. We read, "Therefore, girding up the loins of your mind, being sober, perfectly hope for the grace being brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." I'd like to read this in the English Standard Version, because that word girding actually means preparing. Girding means to take your cloth, your robe, and bundle it up and push it into your belt so you don't trip over it. Preparing to move forward. And in the English Standard Version, it says exactly that. "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we're admonished to prepare our minds for action. And it's not at just the time of Christ's return. It's every day of our lives. We need to be prepared to act. As we're talking about this godly attribute, we see many places in God's word where God has prepared the creation. That didn't just happen as the scientists would have you to believe. It wasn't just, and all of a sudden this stuff appeared and whatever, and that it evolved. Think of the time and the effort spent, God spent preparing, and how perfectly creation fits together and how perfectly it functions. Also prepared ahead of time, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It was part of it, of the plan. And the plan itself. The plan that we rehearse every year through the Holy Days and through the week of Sabbath. The plan that God prepared for all of mankind and for us. Well, where do we find this guidance on preparation? We find it in God's Word. Surprise. It's the ultimate guide for how being prepared. You know, the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts talked about their Cub Scout manual, their Boy Scouts manual, and to be prepared, and this was your guide. Well, this is our guide to be prepared. It encourages us to consult God in all of our plans. It shows us the importance of putting God first in all things while cultivating our faith, God's wisdom, His love, and clarity are as pillars of how to prepare our lives. And as I alluded to before, the when should we prepare? Well, the Bible encourages us to be constant and ongoing in our preparation. As I said, it's not restricted to specific periods or phases of our life, but rather extends across our whole life's journey. Preparation spans from our daily choices and actions to our long-term plans and decisions. The underlying message of the Bible is to be vigilant, to be prepared at all times, standing firm in our faith and trust in God, ensuring that our heart and mind are always prepared to receive God's guidance and blessings. Why is preparation essential? According to the Bible, preparation is crucial because it puts us in the right frame of mind and heart to receive God's wisdom and blessings. We need to have a support team just as the Olympics athletes do. They quickly learn that they can't do it on their own. And the quicker we learn that we can't do it on our own and continually remember that, the better we will be able to perform. They have some fantastic support. But once again, it pales in comparison to the support you and I have in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Being prepared helps us to build resilience and strength, paving the way to us having more trust in God, increasing our faith to face trials and tribulations, which we will face. It fosters discipline and order and purpose in our lives. We're not blown around like chaff in the wind. We've set a path, we've prepared to take a path, and we keep marching that way. Occasionally we step off the edge of the path, and hope with God's Holy Spirit, we can be righted back on the path. As I said, we will fail along the way. The Olympic athletes fail along the way, but they get back up and continue on. So should we. How does preparation manifest itself What does preparation do for us? What does preparation do for those around us? Preparation in a biblical context is not just the physical. It hits all aspects of our life. Spiritual, mental, physical. We have to bolster all areas of our lives. We have to be prepared in all areas of our lives. The Bible places emphasis, once again, on preparing our hearts. That center of our intellect, our minds, what drives us minute by minute through our lives. And we know that we can't do it on our own. We have to ask God for His Holy Spirit to work with the Spirit we have in us to give us that drive, to strengthen our hearts, to not let our hearts wander as we heard that Solomon allowed things to enter his life, the distractions of life, to enter into his heart and to pull him away from God, to pull him away from that ultimate goal, to be a member in the kingdom. And not only for us to be a member in the kingdom, but for us to serve others on their way to making it to the kingdom. And today, those people are around us, being a good example for them. Again, I think I've mentioned before, we don't know all the ways that we are examples, both good and bad, to those around us. And I'm not talking about necessarily those in this room today. But we do live in the world, and we are examples. And many of those around us, your neighbors, may know that you're a member of this church and that you represent God. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I know I ask myself, and many times, it brings tears to my eyes, how I come across or have come across in certain situations. But once again, we try not to stop there. We continue on with our training. We continue on with our preparation. We move forward with the strength of Jesus Christ, saying, help me not let you down. Help me to be more like you. Because just like the Olympic athletes, they can't do it on their own. Ultimately, that last few minutes they're out there and they're running or jumping or whatever their discipline is, sure, they're out there on their own. But it's all those other people in their support team that are there to bolster them along the way. We each have support team to bolster us along the way. I'm looking out over a number of you right now. Everybody here is a member of somebody's support team. And as I said, we have Jesus Christ and God the Father. What else can we ask for? You know, look at one set of verses quickly that God believes in the importance of good preparation. Turn to Proverbs 30, verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 30, verses 24 and 25. This is just one example. It reads, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. God created the ants, and He instilled them in them this aspect of preparation to be ready for what's coming in the future. And He's done the same for us, and He is doing the same for us. Preparation is a biblical and a godly key to success. Preparation can help us get a new job, a better job, a good job, by training and education. Those both require preparation for studying and taking tests. Good meals require preparation by planning a menu, buying groceries, cooking. Contrary to what you might see on TV, where all you have to do is get on your phone and bring it to me, you know. I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with that. But it's probably not something that you want to do all the time. It's a tool, and it can make things convenient. But you have to prepare to do that even. You have to be prepared and be ready to get on your phone or whatever and get in hold of them and tell them to bring the stuff. And you have to be prepared to pay for it. In many areas of life, success is directly proportional to good preparation. Preparation is essential in order to serve God successfully and to receive eternal life. We talked about the heart and one of the most important things, if not the most important thing we can do, is prepare our hearts for good works. Turn with me to Ezra 7:10. Here we read, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord." And the next part's very, very important. "And to do it." The next part's also important. "And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Many in Israel fell away from God. Why did they fall away from God? They just didn't have the attitude. They didn't have the wherewithal to push through the trials. They lost sight of that crown. They forgot the promises of God. Ezra did not. As it said, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Do we prepare our hearts on a daily basis to seek the law of the Lord? Is it a consuming fire in our lives? Or do we let distractions get the best of us? Do we forget God? It's easy to look back at the Israelites and say, they just crossed the Red Sea. Look at all the miracles God performed for them and all the promises God made to them and how quickly they forgot. I know I've found it easy at times to forget that, lose sight of the big picture. It's easy to get wrapped up in the immediate moment and the trial that you may be in. It's easy to mumble. It's easy just to lose the whole big picture. Yet, when we do, we have to snap out of that. We have to be prepared to snap out of that. We have to want to snap out of that. We have to want to reach that goal. We need to put our whole minds, body, and soul behind that effort. Turn to 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 14. Here we're going to look at the other side of the coin. And hopefully this is not us. I know, as I said, at times it can be us, but we need not to stay in this mindset. We need not to stay in this attitude. But here we read about Rehoboam, who was the son of King Solomon, who we heard about in the sermonette. I'm sure Rehoboam received good training as he was growing up. However, I'm sure he also saw the actions of his father and how his father drifted away from God and let the things around him kind of consume him. And verse 14 reminds us, and it says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." It's that easy. It's all in the attitude. It's all in the outlook and the perspective. We can be going through some of the worst trials in our lives, and physically they may not be easy, and they won't be easy. And it'll be different for each one of us where our breaking point is. But when we reach that breaking point, that's when we need to rely on our support team. We need to pray to our Father in Jesus Christ for more of His Spirit to help us through that moment, because humanly, we're not going to make it. But with God, all things are possible. And God wants us to win. He wants us to be successful. And He will not let us fail. But we need to do our part. We need to ask Him. We need to prepare our hearts for those moments that will come upon us, to call upon Him and not try to do it on our own. Daily, every day of our lives, we have to make choices. And attitude and outlook has a lot to do with the choices that we make. We need to prepare to be happy. We need, as Paul said, to learn to be content in the state that we find ourselves in. With that state doesn't mean we need to stay in that state, but we can't backslide. We should always move forward to a better state. We need to put things in the proper perspective. As I said, it's easy sometimes to lose the big picture. Things can always be worse, and they probably will get worse before they get better. And the saying is, it's always darkest before the dawn. But we must be prepared to stick it out. At that moment in time, we can't give up. We can't take the easy way out, as they say. We have the choice, each one of us, to be an example, to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ and God's kingdom, with each other, with those we come in contact in our families, immediate families, extended families, our neighbors, those we work with, those we meet in the store, those we meet at the gas station, wherever it may be. We have a choice of how we present ourselves and how we present the kingdom of God. We have the choice to think before we speak and act. We have the daily choice to overcome something, to grow. None of us have a shortage of areas that we need to improve in. None of us have reached that goal being to be like Jesus Christ. We all fall short. We're told we all fall short. We're all good people. We're all trying to do good. But we still have failures in life. And we need to act on those failures and turn it around, get back up, get back on the track, and practice some more. Little things matter. Sometimes it just takes the very baby steps to pull yourself out with God's help out of a trial. It may not go away instantly, but it won't go, probably will not go away at all if we don't take those baby steps. And usually the first baby step is in our attitude about it. We have a daily choice to be thankful. Truly thankful for the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We have that choice to look for God's hand in our lives. When was the last time that you sat down in a nice quiet place and wrote down on a piece of paper all the blessings that you've received in the last day, week, month? You name the time span. But really concentrated on it. Really thought about it. It's so easy as we go along in our daily lives to only see the kind of the negatives. But we are so blessed with so many positives that the old saying is you can't see the forest for the trees. Think of Israel coming across the Red Sea. I think that's what happened to them. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. You know, the big things that just happened to them. Yet they're out complaining about not having enough to eat. I don't think any of them were starving. As a matter of fact, I know none of them were starving. And then when they did get the quail, they complained about that too. Oh, you can imagine God going, what do I have to do for these people? You know, it's just like, well, sometimes we can be the same way. I know I can. We can take things for granted when nothing's guaranteed. We should prepare our minds and our hearts to be thankful and to find contentment. As Paul said, we should be able to be steadfast in the situation we find ourselves in, good or bad. If it's a bad situation, we should be working to make it better. And if it's a good situation, we should be working to make it better. Unless we have the right attitude and we're prepared, I can almost guarantee that it won't get any better. And even if it gets better, we won't know it got better. Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. Once again, you don't realize it until you really take some time and meditate on the situation, on that topic. As I said, take some time to count your daily blessings. And I think that would help us all to prepare ourselves for our next day of life and to continue on in the plan that God has for us in each one of our lives. Some more physical things that we can prepare. And I kind of toss these under the heading of being organized. Oh, no. No. For some of us, that's really bad, because we're not, organization doesn't do anything for us. Well, I think we'd be surprised, but it's not something that comes easy. Some people are very organized and it comes very easy. Well, maybe it doesn't come easy to them. There's a lot of work, I know. But they've trained themselves, they've prepared themselves to operate in that manner. We could all learn from them. Do we all have a prayer list? Not the prayer list that's on the phone, once again, it came out, but do you have your own individual prayer list with some key people or situations that you want to pray about? Deep prayer about. That's being prepared. That's preparing our hearts. And when God sees that, He knows where our hearts are. He will act upon that. It's too easy for us at times to, oh, I got such a busy, busy life. I'm busy doing this, I'm busy doing that. As the Olympic athletes, our physical lives, in reality, we can block out any of that and put that to the side and concentrate on being prepared to one day wear that crown. Bible study falls into that same category. How much time do we spend truly studying the Bible? Study doesn't mean only to read the Bible. Not that reading the Bible is not a good thing, but study means more than that. The connotation is that you take what you read and you think about it. And if you think deeply about it and you focus in on specific subjects, that's called meditation. And that's important, but all of that takes preparation. It takes us to be prepared to block out time in our busy schedule to dedicate to just that. Doesn't mean we can't pray in the spur of the moment or study something and we got 15 minutes here to study, but we should have a time in our life, in our daily lives, set aside where we can take and dedicate our mind totally to reading about a subject in the Bible or a topic in the Bible or a few verses in the Bible and focusing on that and saying, what does this verse or verses mean? And how did it apply when it was written? And more importantly, how does it apply to me now? What is God trying to get across to me that I need to implement or to do in my life? Because if there's one thing that I've learned in giving sermonettes and now sermons, is that it's enriched my Bible study and it's enriched my attitude and it's helped me prepare my heart to look at the Bible and look into these things more deeply and to think about them more deeply and how they affect me, how they affect my family, how they affect my church family, and how they affect everyone that I come in contact with, now and in the future. As I said, it takes time and effort, and it takes preparation. You might want to have a notebook to write a specific topic down and then take your own notes as you're going through it and as you think about it, ideas that come up, and you can jot them down even other times. Sometime later in the day, a thought will come into your head. Grab that notebook if you can, or as soon as you can get that notebook, jot it down. You know, one thing, I know the man at Spokesman's Club will recognize these. There's a series of these, each book in the Bible. It's called the Scripture Journal. And it's by Crossway. But it's the verses on the left-hand side, and then room to write on the right-hand side for every page is that way. And I've been using these for a while, and it is so helpful to help concentrate and to focus your thoughts. You can, after you've written them down, you can go back to them. And I always found that writing things in my Bible, by the time I wrote everything in the Bible, I couldn't read the verses because they were covered up with all the words that I tried to write in there. Maybe that's just me. I need a lot of extra things to help me understand. And I found that this kind of helpmate really works out good. Like I said, it doesn't have to be this. By the way, these are fairly inexpensive. They're like $4 or $5 for a book. Some of the longer books are a little bit more than that. I think the most was $10 for one of these. But, you know, it's a thought. You know, Ezra, as it said, he prepared his heart to seek God's law. We need to do the same as we prepare to study. Proper attitude leads to proper study. Let's go to Acts 17. Acts 17 in verse 11. Here we read, "These were more notable than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." I'm talking about the Bereans. And they had a readiness of mind. They were prepared before they started to study and as they were studying so that they could have greater comprehension of what they were reading. And they didn't take necessarily what they were reading or what they were hearing at face value. It's too easy in today's world. We've gotten to the point where it pops up on your phone. You know, it's the news. It pops out on my phone. Is it true? Chances are these days, it's as good a chance it's not true as it is true. Maybe even more so that it's false. But we've trained generations of people now to fall into that trap of not having critical thinking. And God wants us to be critical thinkers. He wants us to study. He wants us to be prepared to incorporate what we read and what we study and what we meditate and what we pray about into our hearts so that we may use it to be prepared as we run into situations that we have no idea what they may be in the future. But yet we will still be prepared because God has allowed us to prepare ourselves for them. Have you ever read your Bible, gone through, and you're studying, and you get to the end of the section that you're studying, and by the time you get to the end, you're not sure what you started out with, and you're not sure, you don't remember? Well, that's probably because we weren't prepared for that at that time. I know I've read things, and there's an old thing, how many times have I read that and it just didn't come to me? And I'm a firm believer that God does inspire us and he gives us what we can understand at a time. But I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy because we truly aren't focusing on it. We're not meditating on it. We're not really thinking as we're reading or studying. We get in our own way. And we go, oh, now I understand. Well, it's probably God helping us and also us getting out of the way and helping ourselves. We can choose on a daily basis to serve. And by serve, I don't mean necessarily just here at church. I mean to serve your family, to serve your friends, to serve those you work with. They are all children of God. And we, of all people on the earth, should share, if nothing else, our example by our lives, as I mentioned before, and a kind word and a smile. Even when we're not having the best of days, don't take it out on somebody else. Boy, talking to myself now, but it's easy to do. But with preparation and having that mindset, we can get better at that. Kind of give yourself a goal to serve X times a week. Start out small, but start. Send cards. Not here, not just, like I said, not necessarily here at church, but send cards to your family or your friends. Or give them a call. Give them a text. But be prepared to do that. Don't just do it on a whim. Make it part of your daily routine. Reach out. Call somebody. We have shut-ins. Call them. They may or may not answer the phone, but if you keep calling them, eventually they'll answer the phone. I found that out myself. Be persistent. If you've got neighbors that may be having a hard time or something, make food for them. As I said, bring some food to the food bank collection that we're going to start having. But we have to make a conscious effort to do that. You don't have to have a formal call to do something. If you see something that needs to be done or should be done, do it. Be prepared to do it. Have the right mindset in doing it. Visit somebody. Not just a call, visit them. I'd give them a call first and let them know you'd like to visit them. But visit somebody. Physical company for a lot of people is important also. And you know what? If we start doing things like that on a daily basis, it leads to us doing that on a monthly basis and a yearly basis, and it becomes part of our lives. And that's what God wants us to do. We have the weekly Sabbath, where we're preparing, we're learning, we're growing, and we're becoming ready to teach. It's important to think of it that way, that each one of us is being called and being prepared to teach. That time will come when we are called to do that. How do you prepare for the Sabbath? Or does the Sabbath just sort of happen? You know, don't have to turn there, but in Exodus 16:23, I know we're all familiar with this. This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. Be prepared for the Sabbath to come. And all that entails. More importantly, that's kind of talking about, it's talking about both the spiritual and the physical, but it comes across more as the physical. But be prepared to have the right mind frame to attend Sabbath services. Do you rush around doing things on Sabbath morning, waiting to the last minute, jump in the car, scurry off to the hall here, rush in at the last minute? And maybe even then try to honor God with our presence here before His throne. I've found my attitude at times is not always the best about that, and my mind is not always in the right place. It's easy to do. We should be prepared to come here with open hearts, open minds, to sit quietly and concentrate on the messages that God has prepared for us to hear that day. But we need to take the time to put ourselves in that mindset. That has to happen before the Sabbath. As I said, we have to remember that when we come here, we come before the very throne of God to honor Him. There's other things, preparing to give an offering, preparing to tithe. What do you mean preparing to tithe? You give 10%. You always have the right mindset when you write that check. It's important to think about things, to meditate on things, to be prepared. Some more verses that you can jot down. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11 and verse 12. And 2 Corinthians 9, verses 2 through 7. Here it talks about the Corinthians needing readiness of mind. It talks about gift, that their gift should be prepared ahead of time so it would be ready. Proper giving requires you and I to purpose it in our heart, to be prepared to do so. There's God's holy day plan. Are you planning for the Feast of Tabernacles? How about the Feast of Trumpets? How about Atonement? Are you planning for those? Are you preparing for those? Both physically and mentally? And in those moments when we are studying, we are meditating. Part of that, do we actually visualize in our minds, and I don't mean daydream, but I mean visualize us being in the kingdom of God and what that will entail, what we will be involved in, and how that may play out. Actually see that in your mind's eye. That takes preparation. That takes dedicated thought process. If we properly prepare our hearts like Ezra did, we are well on our way to being faithful and trusting of God and to that ultimate goal, the kingdom of God. How prepared is your heart? How prepared is my heart? Is your attitude at times keeping you from being ready? If it is, pray to God that He would give you His Holy Spirit and more of His Holy Spirit to help you change that attitude. Finally, today I'd like to end with some Bible verses on being prepared. It's clear in the Bible that being prepared is being wise. In Proverbs 6:6-9, you don't have to turn there, but if you'd like to turn there, here we read once again about the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? When will you cease to slumber? Proverbs 28:19, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Proverbs 21:20, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. The prudent see dangers and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. That's Proverbs 22:3. And in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the prudent see danger. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read that one. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, or even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. God has called us to a wonderful, wonderful goal. He has set before us a crown. He has set before us His kingdom. He is there with His Son, rooting us on, helping us in any way we ask. We need to do our part. We need to look to the key of success that God has given us the ability to do, and that is to prepare today, prepare tomorrow, and to prepare for all eternity.